I want to talk to you this morning about a break-in. Often a break-in is a very negative, painful thing. This break-in happened in the dead of night, as break-ins often do. It was a dangerous time. Caesar Augustus, the somewhat narcissist emperor of Rome, had his own peculiarities. Later, Rome would declare that he's actually a god. Probably easy to be a narcissist if people worship you. Suetonius, a Roman historian who was born in AD 70, wrote a record of the first 12 Caesars, including Caesar Augustus. And he tells us that Augustus had his own peculiar brutality, but oddly enough, also generosity to the people of Rome. For example, he was in a battle at Philippi where his forces defeated Brutus and Cassius. Caesar took the head of Brutus and sent it back to Rome so they could practice throwing it at the statue of Julius Caesar. Nice guy. When a father and son in the war were taken captive, he forced them to decide which one of them would be executed. The father, of course, stepped in and said, "I will die for my son." And so he was executed, and the son, observing this, took his own life. Another prisoner of high rank asked for at least a decent burial, and Caesar Augustus said to him, "Well, that's for the birds to take care of." Compassion, right? Arrogance. If some of his troops broke rank, he would pick out every 10th man and have that man executed. When Mark Antony and Cleopatra fled to the city of Alexandria, took refuge there, he attacked the city and he basically razed it. And Mark Antony sued for peace. But Caesar forced him to kill himself instead. Oddly enough, then, Caesar Augustus adopted Mark Antony and Cleopatra's children, raised them as his own, giving them education and position. He taxed the people heavily, but he also distributed food generously. Instituted a fourth level of the judiciary where they tried the minor cases. Against this backdrop of chaos and darkness and superimposed order by self-aggrandizing Caesar Augustus, a young virgin carrying a child, a young woman named Mary, and her betrothed Joseph, come to Bethlehem after an arduous, exhausting journey and find a place, someplace, where animals slept and where there was a manger at hand. Odd how the contrasts are so stark. In this time of darkness, this baby is born and put to bed in a manger in the poorest of cloths, swaddling, while Caesar, who thinks he controls the world, sleeps in his palace far away. Contrast. And in a world like that, where people worship many gods, sometimes including the leader, and where political intrigue is afoot and people hide the truth, Where does God fit, and where is the story of God in this, and how do we talk about our story of God and of faith in that world? Your story about Jesus is true, no matter how dark and strange or corrupt the world is. Not far from Bethlehem, another stark contrast is about to light up. Shepherds are in their field looking after their sheep. According to Reinecker, shepherds had a low reputation. They were the despised people. They weren't the people that the Orthodox people or the religiously astute people spent time with. Barclay tells us that shepherds couldn't keep all the Orthodox religious rules. They couldn't practice ceremonial hand washing regularly. They were too busy looking after their sheep. They couldn't get to all of the events and services that were held because they were busy with their work. Barclay also says that at that time of year, these may well have been temple-owned sheep because the religious leaders had a flock from which they could draw unmarked, perfect lambs for the sacrifice. And so it was. These shepherds are watching their flocks at night. And suddenly, not only an angel of the Lord, but the glory of the Lord that accompanied this angel of the Lord lights up the dark. And you know what's coming? It's another one of those don't be afraid moments. I'm bringing the terror and the holiness and the presence of God, but don't be scared. Suddenly, Liefeld tells us that the word suddenly in Greek often appears where God comes into play, as it were, in the world. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shines around them. And the angel's first words again are, don't be scared. I'm perhaps the only person that thinks that's funny. Don't be afraid. You ever been startled? Startled a little bit, or had a close call, and you go, oh, magnify that by, 1,000 times. And here they are, seeing the glory of the Lord. They're minding their own business. Don't be afraid. See, tainted human nature, corrupted by fear, and the belief that God doesn't really have our best interest at heart, wants to run from the presence of the Lord often because we're afraid he's going to take away what we already have. That's the lie that Satan brought Adam and Eve in the beginning, is it not? And so they need to hear, as you and I do, don't be afraid. No, that's not true. God's not coming here to take away what you think you need. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I have good news that will bring you great joy. This is the message of the good news of Jesus Christ that will bring you great joy. Heaven broke into earth. See, the veil between heaven and earth is very thin. It's very thin. The scripture talks about how the angels and creation celebrate the glory and the majesty of God. It says this in the Psalms, honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. It's there for those who wish to pay attention. And here God breaks through that thin veil. And the Savior has been born. Not a rival political leader, not an emperor, Jesus Christ the Lord. He's come. And the angels bring this message through the veil. Christ, in contrast to Caesar Augustus, sleeping in his palace. God's peace to the turbulence of earth. The Apostle Paul summarizes this theme of Scripture. Here it is in Ephesians. And this is the plan. At the right time, He, this is God, will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The veil is thin. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Your story of Jesus is true and it's real. This veil is very thin. We are in the presence of the living God through Christ. Yes, this morning, right now, in the presence of the living God through Jesus Christ. And your story of Jesus is true. What a contradiction. The real power that night lay wrapped in poverty clothing in a manger in Bethlehem, the city of David, the previous and wonderful great king of Israel, while far away, Caesar sleeps in all his temporal power. And the glory bursts out to those dismissed as undesirable. The hairy unwashed, the people nobody wants to hang out with. The shepherds. Why shepherds? Well, Liefeld points out that in Luke, Christ is always coming to people who are the disenfranchised, the people nobody likes. Nobody wants to be around. The people living rough. And it was tradition at that time that when a baby son was born, in particular, in the culture of the times, local musicians would gather at the house and play songs as a celebration. Well, Mary and Joseph were travelers. There was no time to arrange for this, and nobody knew them, and there was no concert. But not far away in the fields, the shepherds have the ultimate break-in by the amazing worship band of heaven and a light show that was unbelievable. If you hadn't seen it. And so here they are singing the glory of heaven about the birth of this child. There's a story about a European king who used to worry his court because he would walk around incognito amongst the people. And they were afraid that this was too dangerous and kept warning him not to do this. And his response was simply, I can't reign for my people if I don't know how they live. Here is a divine break-in. And he has broken into your life. And your story of Jesus is true. There's a divine break-in where God has come. Your story of Jesus is true. The shepherds ran to see the king, and they would never be the same. Luke 2:15 says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Astonished, amazed. It doesn't say that everybody believed them in the end. It's quite plausible, even likely, I think, that some would have thought after a while, no, I think they're just nutty shepherds. Who's going to believe these people anyway? This is one of the reasons why I find the gospel so credible. God didn't count on the who's who to tell the story. So that historians would say, oh, Caesar, he appeared to Caesar, and the world was converted. Nuh-uh. Comes to the people that nobody really takes too seriously. The story stands on its own. Angels, the first witnesses of Christ, next are the shepherds. Shepherds. And now it's us. It's us. A witness is someone who tells what he or she has seen and heard. Some of us watched the series Share Jesus Without Fear. And the author of this series, Bill Fay, tells how when he was not a follower of Christ Jesus, some people tried to talk to him about Jesus, and he said, I mocked you, I made fun of you, I put you down, I treated you terribly, but he said, I never forgot anything you said to me. I never forgot your words, I never forgot that event, that moment, that stuck with me. Why? Because your story about Jesus is true and it resonates. It's true. Your story is true. We've been talking about Christ-centered evangelism and what's that mean? And we've reviewed some principles. They are this: Christ-centered evangelism. Love. God loved the world so much he gave his one and only son. Pray. Pray for people. God wants everyone to hear and to be saved. Presence. Rely on the presence of the Holy Spirit right here, right now. And serve. Mercy means taking time to care and tell. Tell your story of your Savior, Christ the Lord. Your story is true. It carries the weight of truth because it's about the Lord Jesus. Now, you probably haven't seen a blazing light show. This is close, but it's not the same as that night. This is beautiful. It's just not as powerful as that one was. You haven't seen that. I haven't either. And you haven't heard an angel choir. Neither have I. But you have a story of when heaven broke in to you. When God broke into your life. And God started to make sense of things that you were confused about, or he forgave you of something that was weighing you down, or he set you free from fear, or he empowered you to live when you didn't want to. You have a story that is true. And if you don't have a story of Jesus, this morning I invite you to receive him. He died on the cross for your and my sins, our shame, the things that separate us from God. That's the story, the true story of Christ. And he rose again so that he could give life now and forever to those who trust in him. You can start again right now, this morning. Because heaven came down and peace replaces fear. A few things that encourage us from this event, that encourage us now. First of all, again, God opened the veil. It's very thin. He is here. The God of heaven and earth is present. There's a new king in town. He died for us. He rose again. Carries our shame away. And he told his disciples that some people would hate them because of his presence and message in their lives. But he said this, but I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. The Spirit, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit will come and he talks to people. And when you tell your story of Jesus, he's already talking to people. He comes to this world to bring conviction, to point people to Jesus. He's speaking to people, yes. He is. Even the Bill Fays of this world, the ones you think will never turn to Jesus, he's talking to them. That's sometimes why they're so miserable. They're hanging on for dear life because sin is fun till it's not. The veil is thin. Your story is true. God opened the veil. Second, your story of God's break-in has power because it's true. You notice we've put telling the truth last after this. You know, it's not just a sequence, but other principles of Christ-centered evangelism, loving, praying, serving, being Christ's presence, telling. Now, at this point, we often say things like, we, including me, well, first, you know, you have to live the message before you can speak the message, or it's not real to people, it's not credible. That's absolutely true. However, sometimes that becomes an excuse for never telling. I don't think anybody is going to stand before God on Judgment Day and say, well, you know, God, I observed my Christian church-going friends. They lived a pretty good life, so we're good, right? No. The question for every person is, what have you done with my son, Jesus Christ? Not, who did you observe living a good life? Now, it's certainly true, don't go talking without walking the walk. We get that. But it's sometimes an excuse for refusing to tell our stories. Over 200 years ago, a young man at that time named William Carey, who became what is called the father of modern missions, he stood up in his church assembly, this meeting where there were a lot of leaders gathered in his family of churches, and he said, I think we need to start a group that sends people to other countries with the story of Jesus, the gospel. And an older, more experienced person in the assembly said, young man, sit down. When God wants to win the heathen, as he called them, he'll do it without your help or mine. J.I. Packer says, let's not be too hard on that older gentleman. He did understand one thing right, the sovereignty of God, and that God doesn't need us. He's not dependent on us. He's not needy of our witness. That's not the point. But Packer points out, he also neglected an equally important principle in Scripture, and that is the responsibility God has given to the church to shine for Jesus Christ in the world. God guided the Apostle Paul to write, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the Scriptures say how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. I'm not trying to suggest that we are all gifted evangelists. That's not true. We're not. That's not the point. Far from it. But you have an important story, and it's true. And it has power because it is filled with Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth. This story is true. Shepherds whom the world would call unsophisticated and undesirable just told what they had seen and heard. They didn't have time to construct a mission statement. They didn't go out with guilt or fear. They didn't come to a service and get shamed into going and telling what happened. They just said, we got to tell everybody what we've seen and heard. You see, it's our encounter with God that moves us, that's all. When you spend time in Scripture and something jumps out at you, and it begins to change you. That's part of your story. And you pray, God, help me tell this story when it's right. Or your story might sometimes be when you first believed, what that was like, what life was like before, and then what happened, and how God is changing you. Or just in your daily faith walk with Christ, you experience His care, and you say, I believe in Jesus because... There are many parts to your story, and you don't have to tell the whole thing all at once. We have various parts of our story. Part of my story is that maybe 22 years ago, I was spiraling inside. Most people didn't know that. Things had unraveled for me in some areas. It was just a difficult time. And I felt like I had no chute that would open. And I was struggling and emotionally spiraling. And one Sunday, I was preaching in Philippians, if you're familiar with it, chapter 2, about Christ being enough and Paul giving up all this other stuff, saying it's all rubbish. And suddenly I realized in a fresh way that I believe this, that Christ is enough and he's my sustainer. And I said, this is the best day of my life. That's part of my story. Yours is different. So when I say that, and someone in the world says, why? I say, well, depending on the situation, I can tell some of my story. Way better to be in the best day of my life than spiraling into depression, I can tell you that. What's your story? You have a story, it's true. You don't have to tell the whole thing every time. But your story is true. Being a witness is just telling what you've seen and heard. So here are a few things that are helpful parts of telling your story. First of all, pursue knowing God in all of life. Pursue knowing God in all of your life. The shepherds were just responding to what God had done for them. They didn't have to make anything up. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily. Invite Him daily into your story and what you're going through, whether it's painful or joyful. Come to church expecting to encounter God. It's the encounter with God that the shepherds were talking about. Pursue knowing God in all of life. Second, ask God to help you prepare your story. Jesus said He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And then He said, go make disciples. Why? His authority, His name. It has power. Your story has power, and it's true. Third, get ready. Just get ready. Tell another believer your story. Tell another believer your story. Don't go to the most rank, abrasive atheist you know first. Say, I got to tell you my story of Jesus. Well, if you want, go for it. He could be Bill Fay. But talk to each other. Tell your story to someone who believes. Say, I believe in Jesus because. There's a good takeaway for today. Talk to someone you know is a believer. I believe in Jesus because, and you might stumble through it. So what? It's still your story. It's still true. Get ready. You know, there are lots of little tools we use also to communicate what the good news is. Lots of them. You've seen the four spiritual laws, the bridge to life. There are many. Rewrote recently a little one about you're created in God's image, and it just goes through four steps. Created, the crisis of sin, the cross of Christ, and then new creation. Don't use this as a tip track. Don't do that. Don't leave it around anonymously. Get to know it. Get to know it yourself. And maybe if you carry it around, things like this can be useful in explaining, well, here's what I mean. And related to this, there's a little Bible study on those same four things that might be useful in, that is useful in helping someone grow in newfound faith. Be ready. And fourth, be mindful of the Holy Spirit's presence, simply to be available to people. He is creative. You could ask others, how do you celebrate Christmas? And maybe they'll ask you, how do you celebrate Christmas? Well, there's Christmas Eve service where we sing carols and we hear the story of Jesus again. Or Sunday or Christmas morning, we read from the New Testament about the birth of Jesus and so on. And you let it hang there. Be mindful of the Spirit's presence. Your story doesn't have to answer everybody's question or overcome every obstacle. No. The Just tell your story. Paul's story is helpful here. I love how he tells it. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. Yes. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Packer quotes a man named Trumbull who said this, "Whenever I am justified in choosing the subject of conversation with another, the theme of themes, Christ, shall have prominence between us so that I may learn of his need and, if possible, meet it." Packer adds this, "The key words here are, whenever I am justified in choosing my subject of conversation with another." He says, you are not usually justified in choosing the subject of conversation with another till you have already begun to give yourself to that person in friendship and established a relationship in which that person feels you respect them and you are interested in them and you're treating them as a human being and not just some kind of case. That's good advice. On the other hand, at the same time, let's not be quick to decide what God's not going to do. When he's not going to prompt us, when he's not going to give us an opportunity by saying, I don't know that person very well, I better shut up. Unless God, if God opens the door, we walk through it. See, once we're free of the fear of telling our story, who knows what God will do? Are you afraid to tell your story? That's not uncommon. I've been afraid to tell my story often. But that's something we get to overcome through Christ Jesus. And we're going to pray today that fear away and learn to take authority over that thing in Jesus' name. A man named Jamie moved from China to Panama. He was an atheist when he got to Panama. He encountered a Christian that gave him some tracts about Jesus. He threw them away. Later on, he encountered some people who were visiting Panama who talked to him also about Jesus, and they gave him another tract. This time, he kept it. He came across an international worker that invited him to church, and he went. Sometime after that, he went to a theater. Just went to the theater, and he watched a movie called The Passion of the Christ, and he was so moved. He saw the message. He heard it. Today, Jamie is a pastoral intern working among the five Alliance churches in Panama City. You never know, do you? We don't decide what God will not do because it doesn't fit our particular pattern. Your story is true. Your story of Jesus is true, and it is powerful. It's still a dark time in the world. That spirit that was in Caesar still functions. It's still afoot. The prince of the power of the air. Don't be afraid. Be available. I pray that the Lord leads another 50 new baptized believers to be discipled, but that means there are at least 50 people sharing their story and willing to disciple them. It starts here, among us. The Holy Spirit is already working there. Do we let him work here? Your story is true. This morning I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that the power of the presence of Christ's name breaks off the spirit of fear from telling our story. You might need more focused prayer about that, and we'll give you that opportunity. But right now, I invite you to stand, and the worship team is going to come. and help us respond. Would you stand with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, you see your church, people you deeply love, people for whom you've given your Son, the Lord Jesus. Look at your people, your church, whom you've designed to be the people who illustrate the glory of the presence of the Lord in this world, in their workplaces, their neighborhoods, their homes. Look at your church. We thank you that, as the angel announced, you have come with power so the glory of your presence will shine. This is because of your favor. And so we break off fear in the name of Jesus Christ. And I cast it aside. I break off fear that would try to suppress the truth of Jesus' name. And we receive grace and wisdom and tact in the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us and renew us. Help us be ready. Help us be gracious. Help us show kindness and mercy. Protect us, we pray. We pray you'd surround us and our households. Surround your people, your church, with whatever protection we need, up to and including the principality and power level as necessary, and beyond that, as we need it, that while we may not physically, visibly see the presence of the glory of the Lord, the truth of the presence of Jesus Christ will in some measure, and the glory of the Lord in some measure, will descend upon us and shine through us now in Jesus' name. I'd like to invite elders, members of prayer ministry team to come and be available. Perhaps someone wants prayer for anything. It could be to do with spirit of fear, but it could just be for something else going into this season. You're welcome to come and receive prayer ministry if these